in our audience. It is my prayer that each one of us receives a rich blessing from the Lord this morning. Before we begin, why don't we pause for a short word of prayer? Let us bow our heads. Loving Father in heaven, we pause to thank you so much, Lord, for this wonderful adventurous Sabbath. Father, we thank you so much for the Sabbath day because you are our creator and you are our redeemer as well. And you are our best friend. Father in heaven, as I kneel before you this morning, Father, I ask, Lord, that you would please hide me behind the cross. Father, may self be lost. May Jesus be lifted up. May Jesus be glorified. May Jesus be honored. May Jesus be worshiped. Father in heaven, forgive us, Lord, where we have fallen short. And Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your presence that is here with us this morning. Father, we also invite your Holy Spirit to give us wisdom from on high as we dive into your word. We ask for strength as well to get through this sermon. And Father, we also pray, Lord, for your holy angels to fill this room, to fill this sanctuary, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you would tailor make this message, not just to our children, but to every single individual that is hearing or watching today. Father in heaven, thank you so much for never giving up upon us and for always pursuing us with your love, your mercy, and your grace. For we ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I want to begin with a story about a little boy. When he was about 5 years old, he received an honor roll award in kindergarten. Now, show of hands, how many of us have ever received an honor roll or some type of an award growing up when you were young? Wow, that's a lot of hands. Wow. So this little boy received an award. It was an honor roll. And when he received the honor roll in kindergarten, he actually was so excited. And he couldn't wait to show his dad. And in fact, he ran home and he said, "Daddy, Daddy, I got to show you something." "What is it, son?" "Daddy, Daddy, I got an honor roll award today at school." And the dad looked at him and then he said, "Why didn't you get perfect attendance?" The next year, the little boy worked even harder. He was so determined, and this time, he earned both honor roll and perfect attendance. And once again, he ran to his dad. He was so excited, and he said when he came home, "Daddy, Daddy, I have something to share with you." "What is it, son?" "I got honor roll and perfect attendance." The dad looked at him and said, "Why didn't you get principal's list?" And it kept going. Even when the little boy finally achieved it all, I mean, he got principal's list, he got honor roll, and he even got perfect attendance. There was always something missing. And deep inside, the little boy began to feel something he didn't know how to explain. And that was that no matter how hard he ever tried, he felt that he was never good enough. Have you ever felt like that little boy this morning? Like no matter how hard you try, how hard you do things, it's still not enough. Or perhaps maybe you studied really hard for a test, but you still didn't get the grade that you were hoping for. Or maybe you tried to do the right thing, but someone still pointed out what you did not do. And if we're honest, brothers and sisters, sometimes we bring that same thinking into our relationship with God. I mean, have you ever thought of, if I pray more, maybe God will love me more. If I attend church service more, maybe I'll be accepted. If I give tithes, or maybe if I even double my tithes, maybe I'll finally be good enough. Or if I post about Jesus every day as a YouTube influencer, maybe God will be pleased with me. Or perhaps if I behave better in church or in school, wherever I go, maybe I'll earn God's favor. But the truth of the matter is, church family, is that God is not like that. You see, friends, in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, the Bible tells us that all of our, what everyone, our righteousness are like filthy rags. The Bible doesn't say some of our righteousness. The Bible says how much? All of our righteousness are like filthy rags. You know, it's pretty interesting in the Hebrew, that word filthy rags in the Hebrew is I did. And in the Hebrew, what it simply means is menstruation. In other words, the woman's pads that they wear during the menstruation. And not just brand new pads, these are worn pads. Forgive me, children, from going from rated PG to rated R. I didn't mean to. I meant to explain this to our adults here, but I hope you weren't listening closely to that one. But even in our best, it isn't perfect. And that can be discouraging sometimes if we don't understand the full and big picture. Because if our best isn't good enough, then what do we do? This morning, I would like to share with you four simple truths about what it really means to give our best for Jesus. To give our best for Jesus. In fact, I've entitled our sermon this morning, My Best for Jesus. My Best for Jesus. I want to start off with the first point. The first point is beloved. Now, this is talking about our motive, the reason why we do the things that we do. Now, let's read on the screen together the sentence underneath it. Let's go. Ready, set, go. I don't give my best to earn love. I give my best because I am love. Amen? I don't give my best to earn love. I give my best because I am love. There's a big difference here. Amen? Here's a picture of a widow. In Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through 44, Jesus was watching people give their offerings. You guys remember the story? And many rich people came and they gave large amounts. And it looked very impressive. But then a poor widow came and gave just two small coins, almost nothing. And Jesus said something very surprising. Notice what Mark chapter 12, verse 43 says. It says here, so he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in what, everyone? More than all those who have given to the treasury. Now, you're probably thinking, what in the world? How is this true? If everybody there, well, majority of the people there were giving large sums of money or of treasure, and she dropped in only how many mites? Two mites. How in the world does this make sense? Well, you probably don't know, but the answer is in the very next verse. In verse 43, the Bible tells us, for they all put in out of their what, everyone? Out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty. She, out of her poverty, put in how much? All that she had. Her whole livelihood. You see, her gift wasn't big, but her heart was. In Desire of Ages, Inspiration tells us, page 615, it is the motive that gives character to our acts. Not the great things which every eye sees and every tongue praises does God account most precious. The what kind of duties? The little duties, how is it done? Cheerfully done. The little gifts which make no show and which to human eyes may appear, what everyone? Worthless, often stand lowest in his sight, it often stands highest in the sight of God. A heart of faith and love is dearer to God than the most costly gift. All right, children, this one's for you. Now, when you do little things, I'm talking to the adventurers here, like listening to your parents without complaining. I hope none of us complains when our parents tells us to do something. Amen? In fact, who here likes to complain? Don't raise your hand. Okay. Or when you are sharing with others your toys, or perhaps when you're saying please and thank you, or perhaps helping without being asked, being kind to one another, or telling the truth to your parents, or perhaps worshiping at church. These things really matter to Jesus. Amen? The little things really matter to Jesus. But I want you to remember something. You don't do these little things to earn God's love. You do them because you are already loved. Amen? You don't do things to earn God's love, but it's because you are already loved. Now, here's a picture, just to give an illustration. Here's a picture of two kids that are giving gifts. Now, if you look at them closely, one gives a big, expensive toy, but he doesn't really want to do it, while another gives a small, simple drawing made with love. Now, let me ask you a question. Which one means more? The one given with love. And that's the point, friends. God is not looking at how much I can give. He's looking at how much love is in it. Amen? So when we talk about doing our best for Jesus, it's not about being the smartest or being the most talented or doing the most. It's about the heart, our motives, the reason why we do the things we do. Because before you ever gave your best, you were already loved. I don't try my best to be loved. I give my best because I am loved. Amen? Our next point is empowered. Now, this deals with the multiplication of doing our best. Let's read it all together on the screen. Ready, set, go. I give what I have and Jesus multiplies it. I give whatever I could give to Jesus. And what does Jesus do with what I give? He multiplies whatever I give to Jesus. Amen? Now, you guys remember the story in John chapter 6. We find the story of a young boy who had only 5 loaves of bread, barley loaves, and how many fish? He had 2 fish. Now, would you think that was much? For the little boy, yes. It would be a lot for him to eat all the food by himself, right? But how many people were they dealing with at this time? Thousands. 5,000 to be closely. It's interesting that Mrs. White talks about 5,000 men sat down in the grass in the field, but it doesn't talk about how many of the children and the mothers were there as well in the presence. So it was at least 5,000 people, at least 5,000 men, not including women and children. So just to kind of give you a glimpse. Now, this little boy, he gave what he had. Amen? Now, notice what John chapter 6, verse 11 says. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he what? He distributed them to who? The disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. It's pretty interesting, but notice the next verse, verse 12 and 13. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Therefore, they gathered up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. You see, his gift, the little boy's gift, wasn't much. But in Jesus' hands, it became more than enough. Allow me to read to you a quote from Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 14. Mrs. White writes, as he works on the plan of addition in the littles, God will work on the plan of the what, everyone? The multiplication, that those littles will become the most precious influences in the work of God if all is done heartily as unto the Lord. Amen. Now, just to give you a sense of how much was given during that time, this is a picture of one denarii. By the way, when Jesus saw a great company, he asked Philip, where shall we buy bread that we might eat? Now, Jesus asked this question as a test, to kind of test the faith of Philip and all the rest of the disciples. To which Philip replied, 200 penny worth or denaries of bread is not even enough for them that everyone may take a little. So just to give you some clarity here, one denarii is worth one full day of labor. Now, 200 denarii is equal to 200 full days of labor. Now, in our modern vernacular, if someone made $100 to $150 per day, 200 denarius would equate to around $20,000 to $30,000 to feed more than just 5,000 people with bread and fish. More than just 5,000. Now, just to give you clarity on that, just to shine some light in there. But this was pretty interesting, I thought. And it just shows the value that was involved with this. Now, let's go to our last point, shine, which is talking about the mission of doing the best for Jesus. Let's read it together on the screen. Ready, set, go. I shine for Jesus, and others see me instead of Jesus. Is that what it says? I shine for Jesus, and others see him in me. Amen? The hope of all glory. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says it this way. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you. Glorify your Father, which is where? Your Father, which is in heaven. You see, friends, it's not about how bright I shine, but who people see when I shine. Amen? Let them see Jesus in you. You guys remember the story of Daniel? Even as a young man in a foreign land, Daniel chose to honor God in what he ate, in how he prayed, and how he lived. And he didn't just talk about God. He showed God through his actions. And because of that, the kings and the nations saw the power of God through his life. In fact, Mrs. White tells us this. In Christ's Object Lessons, page 419, it is the privilege of how many souls? Every soul to be a living channel through which God can communicate to the world the treasures of his grace, the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know, it's interesting. When I read this verse, this quote, I was thinking in my head, this kind of reminds me of something like a TV. How many of you guys ever watch television, right? And when you have television, when you have the remote in your hands, you're flipping through what, everyone? The channels. And as you're going through the channels, you're trying to find the channel that, you know, that you're interested in. And I read this quote and I was like, this is not just a channel, but this is a living channel. Amen? It is a live streaming channel, amen, through which God can communicate to the world the treasures of his grace, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Everywhere we go, imagine we are live channels. We are living channels. People are looking at you Amen? Aren't they not? People are looking at you as the channel to which God can communicate to the world the treasures of his rich grace. Can you say amen? Let's go to our last point, trust. Now, this is dealing with the attitude of meekness. Let's read it on the screen. Ready, set, go. I give my best and I trust Jesus with the what, everyone? The rest. I give my best and I trust Jesus with the rest. Sometimes when we give our best to Jesus, we can't see the results. We can't immediately see the results. Maybe we give God our time. We give God our effort. We study the Bible with people, but we may never see the results of what we have done. We may pass out flyers. We may sell books as a co-porter or a literature evangelist. We may knock on doors and talk to people, but you may never see the results of what you have done until most likely when you come to heaven and you see them in heaven. And then they come up to you and say, hey, you remember the time that you knocked on my door? You remember the time that you gave me food when I was on the street and I had no food? You remember the time that you gave me your clothes off your back? I'm here in heaven because of what you have done. Amen? I'm here because of what you have done. Sometimes we have to leave the results with Jesus. Now, you guys remember in Matthew 18 that the disciples came to Jesus and asked them a very important question. At this point, I would like to ask Sophia to come up to the stage, and she's right here. Hi, Sophia. How are you?
Good.
I hope you're not shy and not nervous. Are you nervous?
Kinda.
Oh, she said she's kinda. Well, you won't be here that too long. But Sophia, what grade are you?
Fourth.
She's in fourth grade. Amen? So have you started your learning your multiplication?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. How about division?
Yes.
Okay. How about the quadratic formula? Or is that too much? Okay. Let's stick to fourth
grade. What's
that? Well, the reason why I brought Sophia up here is because in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 1, they were discussing a question, and this was the question that was posed to the disciples. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is what, everyone? The greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But notice what Jesus says, how he replies to them. Jesus says here in the next verse, then Jesus called a little Sophia to him, a little child to him. He set him in the midst of them. Is Sophia in the midst of you guys? And Jesus says, assuredly I say to you that unless you are converted and become as little children like Sophia, you will by no means enter the kingdom of what, everyone? Of heaven. Verse 4. Therefore, whoever, what's that word? Humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Now, Sophia, would you like to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?
No, because if you're the greatest, it's kind of annoying to have everybody come to you.
Wow, she's very honest. in order for us to go to heaven, Jesus says, look at this little child. Why a little child? Why would Jesus bring a little child? Why didn't Jesus bring someone else? Why didn't he bring a man? Why didn't he bring a woman? Why did he bring a child? Because of her innocence. the child's innocence, the child's humbleness, the child's faith-like, childlike attitude and childlike faith as well to Jesus. Notice what the quote says here in Desire of Ages. And this is my last quote, and then you can go back down, Sophia. It says here, the simplicity, the self, what everyone? Self-forgetfulness, in other words, they forget about self, and the confiding love of a what, everyone? Of a little child are the attributes that heaven values. These are the characteristics of real greatness. Amen? If you would like to have real greatness, brothers and sisters, study a child. Hang out with a child. Be close to a child and learn their ways. Amen? Thank you so much, Sophia. You can have a seat.
Thank you.
You know, here's a story, a picture of a little boy. You see, it's not about how great I become, but how much I trust, like a child. Mrs. White tells us, I already read that quote to you, but I want you to think about a small child holding their parent's hand while crossing the street. Have you guys ever done that before? Have you ever held your parent's hand while they lead you across the street? You see, they're not worried about the traffic. They're not trying to figure out everything out. They simply trust the one that is holding their hand. And in the same way, we may not understand everything that happens in life, but we can trust Jesus with the outcome. After we study, obey, and give our best, we simply leave the results in Jesus' hands. You see, friends, I give my best, and I trust Jesus with the rest. As I close, you guys remember the story that I started off with in the beginning of the sermon? The little boy who kept trying harder, who felt like he was never good enough. That little boy was me. But that's not the end of the story. You see, as I grew older, I ended up going to Bible school. And for the first time, I truly understood the love of God towards me. And I realized that God is not like people. He's not standing there saying, "Why didn't you do more?" Instead, he's saying, "I love you." And when I discovered that love, I wanted to share that love with my father. And little by little, I talked to him about Jesus. And at first, nothing changed. At first, nothing really happened. I just started to share, and he would listen, but you know, you wouldn't see the fruits, immediate fruits. But as the years went by, his heart began to soften. You see, when I was in Bible college, my dad started calling me. In fact, when I was here at Amazing Facts, right down the road at Weimar campus, my dad started to call me and to ask how my week was. And those calls became regular. He would call me every single Sunday. And on one Sunday, he said something I never expected to hear from my dad. Keep in mind, my dad is not Adventist. My dad grew up Catholic. My dad was an altar boy in the Catholic Church as well. And so it was a tug of war growing up. And he said something very interesting. He said, "Son, I can't wait for you to finish school because I want to hear you preach again. And I want you to give me Bible studies." The very next Sunday, the phone rang again, but this time it was my mom. And she said, "Your dad has passed away." As I began to cry on the phone, I asked my mom, "What was Dad doing before he passed?" And she said, "He was asking me, what should I do to be saved?" She told him, "Just accept Jesus as your personal Savior and give your heart to him right now." And he listened. Then he asked for a glass of water. And when she stepped into the kitchen, my dad suffered a heart failure and passed away. My brother couldn't revive him after CPR. But don't miss this, friends, that in his final moments, he was reaching for Jesus. Not because he was perfect, but because God's love had reached his heart. That's why this message matters, friends. You see, you don't give your best to earn Jesus' love. You give your best because you are already loved by Jesus. You may not have much to offer, but in Jesus' hands, it becomes more than enough. And it's not about having it all figured out, but trusting Jesus at every step of your life. You give your best, and you trust Jesus with the rest. So today, especially to our adventurers, Jesus is not asking you to have it all figured out. All he's asking for is your heart. Will you give him your best? Because Jesus has done his best for you. This morning, brothers and sisters, Jesus is inviting you to be his friend and to give him your heart. He already gave his best for you at the cross. He gave his life so that you could have life. If you want to give your best to Jesus because of his great love for you, will you choose today to invite him into your heart and follow him? Allow me to read you a quote, one last quote before we close. Inspiration tells us in the book Steps to Christ, page 62, if you give yourself to him as your Savior, then sinful as your life may have been, for his sake, you are accounted righteous. Christ's character stands in place of your character, and you are accepted before God just as if you had not sinned. Steps to Christ, page 62. Brothers and sisters, children, family, and friends, if this is your desire to have the righteousness of Christ in our lives, if this is your desire to be justified as if you have not sinned in the past, if that is your desire to be a child like Jesus, I ask that you please stand with me this morning. If this is your desire, stand with me, because Jesus wants to give us a new heart and a new life. Amen? May the Lord add his blessings upon this message. God bless.